It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
I went back to college for a seminar last week. The teacher provoking and guiding us was a now 93-year-old retired professor who had a profound effect on how I perceived the world for the last 50-plus years. It followed a series of Zoom seminars over the preceding academic year, with up to 25 former students attending, all similarly feeling indebted to him. It reminded me of why I came to so value a liberal education. The professor, Wyatt McGaffey of Haverford College, is an anthropologist, and the subject of this latest seminar in the series was the possibility of a reciprocal anthropology, that is, a study of our own culture using the same tools as anthropologists have used for over a century to study others. To me, such a project is not only possible but essential. I was initially drawn to anthropology out of a desire to understand my own history and culture, and particularly the contrast and interaction between people's purported beliefs and their actions. Perhaps because I was raised by parents who taught me that there was no God, but nevertheless required that I receive a full religious education, including becoming a bar mitzvah in an Orthodox synagogue. In his courses, Wyatt taught us to listen carefully to the different narratives by which individuals in a social group describe their life, note their position in the organization of the community, and then observe what they're actually doing. It was through a synthesis of these observations that you could most sensitively understand social dynamics. I ever thereafter found such an approach useful in trying to parse out political or ideological disputes, or really any place where there's just competing narratives. And as we know, competing narratives about reality have clashed often lately. Last week, a similar fight played out between advocates for vaccines and vaccine skeptics. Both sides in these battles ostensibly appeal to the same ideals of pure, disinterested science, yet come to diametrically opposed positions as to what is good science. How do we, the public, navigate such clashes? As Wyatt instructed us this last semester, while there may be facts that are indisputable and can't be undone by alternative facts, there are precious few, if any, truths about more complex realities that can be established with absolute certainty. Even the purest science in a white coat laboratory can be shaped by such non-scientific influences as the culture of the laboratory. You can study the laboratory as an anthropological community. Yet coming to conclusions about the nature of things is not just an academic or political exercise. You need to take in information, make decisions, and act in the real world, which includes this farm. Like, how do you raise your baby turkeys? A few years back, I wrote an effusive bulletin about a new product, a Dutch invention called a mother plate, that had been developed for brooding newly hatched chicks and turkey poults. A board on adjustable low stilts, using something with the strength of a regular light bulb as a heat source, creates a cozy space for the newly hatched birds to huddle underneath, simulating the brooding of a hen keeping her young warm under her feathers. It has far lower wattage than the 250-watt heat lamps customarily used to keep chicks warm, with far less danger of fire. And you have to remember that both of our barn fires started with brooding heat lamps. It appealed to the low-tech Luddite in me. In that respect, I bear some resemblance to the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, anti-vaccination folks who believe in natural remedies. I was an immediate fan. The only problem was, in practice, I wasn't sure it was working well. Turkeys are always fragile birds with far higher mortality than chickens. Particularly when they arrived in cool weather, I lost a significant number. I couldn't be sure the reason, but eventually I added back a heat lamp as an alternative to the mother plate. Then, last year, when I ordered the turkeys, I found that the hatchery made me sign a pledge to use heat lamps, not a mother plate, for at least the first 2 to 3 weeks. I don't think that pledge is legally enforceable, but it made me think carefully about going back to the old method of a heat lamp, carefully protected, of course, for every 25 birds. In considering whether to go with the hatchery's pledge, I had to consider its stake in the matter. It wasn't at financial risk if the birds died more than 24 hours after arrival, nor did it sell heat lamps. I concluded that its pledge was motivated by wanting purchasers to have a happy experience raising birds. And this way, they were more like the climate scientists who worked to promote safety and comfort of their fellow citizens. Mother plate makers, in contrast, although their product does have value, have a direct financial interest in selling their products. That disparity and my empirical experience made me go with the hatchery. When I returned from my college trip, my mind was in a ferment, reminiscent of undergraduate days, as Wyatt had challenged some of the very principles he had inculcated in us more than 50 years ago. But finding my turkeys continuing to thrive with far less mortality than in some recent years, only one inexplicable death, I was at peace with the lesson of sensitive observing that Wyatt never disavowed and that has remained with me ever since.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.